Good evening, friends, and welcome to our worship tonight. We'll hear a gospel lesson that reminds us of the importance of being vulnerable to the Holy Spirit and offering something of us, something of ourselves back in return in gratitude. Let's take a moment in the silence to ask the Holy Spirit to be our teacher tonight, and through this service bless the world and those beside us. Amen.
Staying in the place of quiet, let us listen with the ear of the heart for God's word. The first reading is taken from Wisdom chapter 6. Hear, O kings, and understand. Learn, you magistrates of the earth's expanse. Hearken, you who are in power over the multitude and lord it over throngs of peoples. Because authority was given you by the Lord and sovereignty by the Most High. Who shall probe your works and scrutinize your counsels? Because though you were ministers of his kingdom, you judged not rightly and did not keep the law, nor walk according to the will of God. Terribly and swiftly shall he come against you, because judgment is stern for the exalted. For the lowly may be pardoned out of mercy, but the mighty shall be mightily put to the test. For the Lord of all shows no partiality, nor does he fear greatness. Because he himself made the great as well as the small, and he provides for all alike. But for those in power, a rigorous scrutiny impends. To you, therefore, O princes, are my words addressed, that you may learn wisdom and that you may not sin. For those who keep the holy precepts, hallowed shall be found holy, and those learned in them will have ready a response. Desire therefore my words, long for them, and you shall be instructed. The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Psalm 82. Defend the lowly and the fatherless. Render justice to the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the lowly and the poor. From the hand of the wicked, deliver them. I said, you are gods, all of you sons of the Most High. Yet like men you shall die and fall like any prince. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 17. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God? Then he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has saved you. The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
Why do we hold back in giving our love and giving our gratitude to others? Why do we hold back? This can be seen, this holding back tendency, in little infants or children. I've seen it with 3-year-olds when you give them something and then you ask for it back. Mine. It has been no better represented than in the story of the Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings by Gollum, who is a kind of inner leper, and that inner leprosy starts to manifest in his whole being. And if you recall from the movie, he's a normal hobbit, but he finds this ring. And very soon after finding the ring starts to have a power over him, and it changes him to the point where he becomes overcome by this precious, and it's mine. And the ring has this power over people in the movie that even if they see it, they want it. And it has an impact on them very significantly, and they're not able to be free from it without much effort, without great effort in some cases. And it changes Gollum, becomes a hideous creature, a miserable creature, pathetic creature, all alone with his ring. And the terror that comes when he loses the ring is overwhelming, and he goes on a quest to find that. That's a masterful story that is similar to Jesus' teaching story about this one Samaritan who was leprous to begin with. So it's kind of a reversal of the Gollum story. He starts out like Gollum, a leper. Lepers were lowest in the caste system of the Middle East. They lived separately. There were all sorts of laws, social codes that governed the lepers. And not only was this figure a leper, it's a Samaritan, which is like adding insult to injury. You can't get worse than a Samaritan leper in that Jewish mindset. So it's this doubling of someone who's been made miserable by life, become a golem for whatever reasons this person is suffering greatly. Now, the story unfolds in a very powerful way because of the ratio of 1 to 10, that's a tenth of this group, 1/10 of the group, one person of the 10 is healed of the leprosy and returns to give thanks. It's 2 weeks before the week of Thanksgiving, so perhaps this is one reason why the lectionary has this passage. But I think it's deeper than that. I think it's really a call to us to explore the question, what it is in us that still is Gollum? What in us is still leper that finds it so hard to, as it were, come back and give thanks or express the love, this inability that many of us still have to offer ourselves freely. Now, we don't always know what the edge of our being is, and we don't always know ourselves that well so that we know, yes, if I'm pushed to that, I won't have anything to offer. Yes, if you ask this of me, I'm sorry, that will be my limit. Most of us don't know where our limits are, where our boundaries are, where our being is called into question to such a degree that where we see, am I someone that resists, or am I someone that freely gives? Am I someone who holds back in this context or situation, holds back my gifts, holds back my love, for whatever reasons I may justify, holds back my forgiveness? And these situations that come along give us opportunity to see where we're holding back. So in the case of the leper, it's actually his healing that becomes the occasion for his seeing of himself. It's a good news moment. It's a blessing that becomes the opportunity for him to see the edge of his being, or for the other nine to see the edge of their being. We tend to think of all the bad things that happen to us as the edge of our being, as the place where we get to see where we're holding back. You know, you lose your job, you get a diagnosis, and then you say, I can't trust you anymore. I can't believe in you anymore. I don't love you anymore. These negative things that tend to happen. But what about all the beautiful blessings that come into our life and show us where we hold back? And it's oftentimes when we are so blessed that we see who we really are. I always find it funny, just by way of analogy, that at least I think this, what would I do if I won that $100 million lottery? Am I the only one who thinks about that? Okay, so, you know, what would I do if I won that $100 million lottery? And I notice that all of a sudden, even though I didn't deserve to win that $100 million lottery, I become parsimonious and judgmental about how I would give that money away to my family. Well, my sister, she'd only get $500,000 because she doesn't know how to manage her money. But my mom and my dad, I'd give them $1 million, right? And you can see through that silly analogy where the edge of my being might be in terms of how I hold back based upon what I think in the midst of a situation of total grace where I have received something that I didn't even deserve in the first place. And yet I become judgmental and parsimonious, as if I deserve that $100 million, or if it was as if I'm special. So the good things that happen to us, the blessings that come to us, the abundance, all the ways in which we have been given so much, become the perhaps most challenging place to see, are we going to hold back? We've been so blessed. And yet we can justify ourselves into such stinginess because we know best. Or I deserve this in the first place. Or this is the way it always should be because I'm so-and-so. And thus and thus, and I did so much, and I've worked so hard, and I've saved. And if you only knew, you know, this sort of thing. So the moral of the story for me in this passage from the Samaritan is that 9 of the 10, that's 90%, 90% of humanity, Jesus, doesn't know what to do when they are blessed. 90% of humanity holds back in the midst of abundant blessing, out of fear, out of a sense of shame, out of a sense of what? Mine. It's interesting. So let us think about this in each of our lives. Each of us has a particular gift we've been given, a certain blessing we've been given. Maybe it's time, maybe it's energy, maybe it's money, maybe it's a particular talent, maybe it's your intelligence, Maybe it's your humor. Maybe it's making food. Maybe it's doing something that for others. How are we holding back? And where are we resistant to acknowledging all of it is a gift? Thank you. Thank you. One coda. Could it be that 9 of the 10, 90% hold back and don't come back because they're afraid they'll have to give it back? Could it be that ultimately so much of our holding back is grounded in fear of losing what we love? And there too, Gollum shows us something very powerful, that even in our losing of that which we cherish, we can go on a journey that will transform us in ways that we may need. And the very things that we so cherish, perhaps our future growth requires losing them. Amen. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with each of us on our journeys of releasing and not holding back. Amen.